What do fish and chips, warm beer, and a waitress called Pat have in common? Welcome to Historical Hystericals. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Historical Hystericals. I'm Chris Brennan.
And I'm Commander Mike. And this episode, we're going to check out Benny Hill.
Oh, we're off over the pond again.
Exactly. A great English comedian who really redefined television comedy as we know it.
Yeah, I remember many years ago hiding in the hallway, peeking through the hall door to watch Benny Hill on the TV. And Mum and Dad thought I had gone to bed, but no, I was peeking through, watching all the scantily clad women.
Yes, apparently Dad was watching it for different reasons than I was. Oh, dear. Well, let's get started.
Benny Hill. Benny was born Alfred Hawthorne Hill in Southampton in the United Kingdom on the 21st of January 1925. His family were lower middle class, and Benny's father was the manager of the local medical appliance company.
Ah, would you like to buy a truss?
Yeah, he was very popular with the ladies, he was. Now, Benny was attracted to the age at an early stage in life, and he saw many live stage shows at the two variety theatres in Southampton.
Benny later said that he remembered seeing Max Miller at the variety theatres and thinking how wonderful it was that all the women used to laugh at him. And Benny thought, yep, that's for me.
Now, honestly, most guys don't want women laughing at him, but these guys did.
Circumstances.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
Benny was called up for active service in 1942, and he trained as a mechanic, but transferred to the Combined Services Entertainment Division before the end of the war. And it was there that he met his future agent, Richard Stone, who was a colonel at the time, so yes, he had to call him sir, but that's not important. Apart from that, he worked at Woolworths. He was a bridge operator, a driver, and a drummer, as well as a milkman. Now, the milkman is very important and came into play about 30 years later with a certain song.
Oh, yes. After demobilisation, he began working in a variety theatre where he slowly learned his craft. In 1956, Benny starred in the film comedy Whodunit by the Ealing Studios. Now, Benny was starring as a hapless, bungling private detective. The film was only mildly funny, though, and Benny did display touches of his comic slapstick and characterisation that were to become part of his genius. However, the film was only moderately successful and did nothing to further his career. Instead, it was this new medium of television in which he was about to shine.
Now, inspired by star comedians of the British music hall shows, Benny set out to make his mark in show business. Now, for the stage, he changed his name to Benny, as opposed to Alfred Hawthorne, and this was in homage to his favourite comedian, Jack Benny. Benny Hill appeared at the working men's clubs, at Masonic dinners, and then he moved on to nightclubs and theatre jobs. He auditioned for Soho's famed Windmill Theatre, but he didn't get the job. He was first hired for his first professional theatre performance with Reg Varney as Reg Varney Straight Man. Now, we all know Reg Varney from On the Buses.
Of course.
He actually beat Peter Sellers for the role. That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, Peter Sellers wasn't as well known as he was later on in The Goon Show, but that's another story.
Oh, that makes Benny really old.
Between the end of World War II and the dawn of television, Benny also worked as a radio performer. His first appearance on television was in 1950. In addition, he attempted a sitcom anthology, Benny Hill, which ran from 1962 to 1963. Now, this is where he played a different character in each episode. And in 1964, he played Nick Bottom in an all-star TV film production of William Shakespeare, A Midsummer's Night's Dream. Then he also had a short-lived radio program, Benny Hill Time, on the BBC Radio's Light program from 1964 to 1966.
Benny had struggled on stage and had uneven success in radio, but in television he found a form that played to his strengths, allowing him a format that included live comedy and film segments, with him as the focus of almost every spot. Conceited much? I don't think so. It was to prove one of the great success stories of television comedy, keeping him a star for nearly four decades, generating impressive revenue for Thames TV, and remaining a cult series in much of the world long after his death.
The show had a music hall-derived format, and its humour relied on slapstick, innuendo, and parody.
Mm-hmm. The Benny Hill Show, which ran on ATV between 1957 and 1960. He was then with the BBC from 1962 to 1963. Then he went back to ATV till 1968. In 1969, the guy gets around, his show moved to Thames Television, where it remained till its cancellation in 1989. So he started TV 1957 doing the Benny Hill Show and went right through to 1989. That's a lot of time. Now, the series showcased Benny's talent as an imaginative writer, comic performer, and impressionist. He also bought scripts from a variety of comic writers, but they never received any on-screen credit. He had a need to be in sole control of the show. There is evidence that he bought a script from one of his regular cast members in 1976. This is from Cherry Gillum, whom he wrote to from Spain, telling her he was going to use her fat lady idea on the show in January of 1977.
Now, Benny also broadened his career with cameo appearances in films such as The Italian Job in 1969, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang in 68, and Those Magnificent Men in Their Flying Machines, or How I Flew from London to Paris in 25 Hours and 11 Minutes in 1965.
That'd be kind of hard to fit on the banner, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think it might hold the record for the longest title for any movie ever made.
I'm glad they shortened it for the theatrical release.
But apart from his movies, he also had a hit record in 1971 with that wonderful Ernie, the Fastest Milkman in the West.
Ah, yes, good old Ernie. You all remember Ernie. Now, here's a quick question for you. Now, I'm going to try and get a YouTube link to the video for Ernie, the Fastest Milkman in the West. We'll stick that up on our Facebook page. So go onto Facebook, type in Historical Hystericals. You'll find us there. Have a look, watch the video. Before you do, I need to answer a trivia question. What was the name of Ernie's horse?
Good one.
Now, don't watch the video and then type it out. I want you to go to the Facebook page and type in what you think the answer is. So there you go. Now, what was the name of Ernie's horse and the Fastest Milkman in the West?
Hey, we've even got an Australian connection here.
We have.
Yeah. In 1977, Benny came to Australia to film Benny Hill Down Under, as also known as Benny Hill in Australia. It was a one-off special starring Benny Hill and filmed entirely in Australia. Now, among the highlights were Hold Back the Wind. That was yet another of the Tennessee Williams parodies. I'll have that on the YouTube clip as well.
Mm-hmm.
Archie's Angels, which was a takeoff on Charlie's Angels. There was a sketch about two men who tended to Lady Godiva's horse. And in concession to the filming location, he did the saga of Benny Kelly, the son of outlaw Ned Kelly. Now, this was all done with the support of Aussie actors like Ron Shand, Max Phipps, Stuart Wagstaff, and Barry Otto.
You'll remember Stuart Wagstaff, of course, from Blankety Blanks.
Of course, Ron Shand from Number 96. Max Phipps has been on almost everything. And Barry Otto is best known for being the father of Miranda Otto at the moment. But he's a great actor. They're all great, great performers.
Stuart Wagstaff, just, you never seem to hear about anything he did apart from Blankety Blanks. But he did a heck of a lot of stuff, but we'll come to him another day.
Yeah.
Now, the most common running gag in Benny Hill shows was, of course, the closing sequence. Now, this came to be known as the runoff, and it was literally a running gag in that it featured various members of the cast chasing Benny as part of the chase. So now, along with Benny, you had the other stock comedy characters such as policemen, vicars, old ladies, women in bikinis, and all this sort of stuff. And this was commonly filmed using stop motion and time lapse techniques for comedic effect, and included other comedic devices such as characters running off one side of the screen and reappearing on the other side of the screen, all that sort of stuff. But the tune that was used, which became known worldwide as the Benny Hill theme, was actually Boots Randolph's Yakety Sax. So it had a life before Benny Hill, but Benny chose it, went in with it as his runoff gag, and that's what it became known as. So you hear that straight away and you think, oh, that's the Benny Hill show. But it was also used in TV and movie shows. It was in movie shows? God, I'm showing my age. It appeared in V for Vendetta in 2006 and also in the old cult classic The Gods Must Be Crazy.
Now, after complaints that his television comedy series was too sexual, he began casting children to appear in the show. But instead of hiring professional child actors, he hired the children of the television crew, stating that their laughter at his sight gags was going to be more genuine than the actors.
Now, hang on a second. People are complaining that his show is too sexual, so he puts children in the show.
Yes, so instead of a girl slapping him for some misdeed, it's a kid biting his finger. Or the jokes tended to change and become a little bit more family-friendly.
Okay, just had to clear that up.
Yep.
Don't want the censors coming down on us.
Hey, at this point, I think we must make mention of his usual sidekicks. Now, these included Jackie Wright.
He was the little bald guy.
The little bald guy. Bob Todd, who is the big guy.
Yeah.
And the smooth and suave Henry McGee.
He was the very English.
Very
guy.
English. Yep. Interviewer and a proper gentleman business.
Also up in the goodies as the bad guy a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're all great comedy players in their own right, but they were fantastic as Benny's support actors.
Now, from the start of the 80s, the show featured a troupe of attractive young women known collectively as Hills Angels. They would appear either on their own or in dance sequences or in characters as foils against Benny, of course. Now, Sue Upton, one of the longest-serving members of the Angels, once said about Benny that he was one of the nicest, kindest, most gentlest men to work with. Isn't that nice?
Yes. Now, the sexual content of his routines contributed to feminist accusations of sexism. Now, the comedian Ben Elton made a headline-grabbing allegation both on the TV show Saturday Live and in the pages of Q magazine in its January 1987 issue.
Okay, we'll look that up.
He said that the Benny Hill Show was single-handedly responsible for the instances of rape in England during the period in question, and so suggested the program incited other acts of violence against women.
Huh?
Now, a writer in the Independent newspaper said that Elton's assault was like watching an elderly uncle be kicked to death by young thugs.
Oh, lovely.
Now, Ben Elton later claimed his comments were taken out of context.
Oh,
and,
of course.
Yeah, and then he appeared in a skit on the TV show Harry Enfield and Chums. He played Benny Elton, where Ben Elton ends up being chased by angry women accompanied by the Yakety Sax theme after trying to force them to be more feminist rather than letting them make their own decisions.
Yeah. Now, in response to all these accusations of sexism, defenders of Benny said that the show used traditional comic stereotypes to reflect universal human truths in ways that were non-malicious and fundamentally harmless. That was obviously written by a lawyer. Now, Benny's friend and producer Dennis Kirkland said that it was actually the women who chased Benny in anger for undressing them. Now, there was some premise or some sort of weird, situation that suddenly, oh my God, here she is undressed.
Yeah, dress gets caught in the car door. He gets hooked on something on his bike as he goes past.
Yeah.
Something, it's an accident. And it's never done.
Means, yeah, it's never going to happen. Then they end up chasing him in anger. So it's sort of like, we're going to teach you a lesson for doing the wrong thing. So an article on the 27th of May 2006 in The Independent quoted Benny and Dennis Kirkland as saying that they believed this misrepresentation demonstrated critics could not have watched this program.
Yes.
So, in other words, they're saying that Ben Elton never actually watched the show. But
yeah, because they're saying, oh, it's sexist because he's running around chasing after the girls. No, they were chasing him.
Yeah, they didn't get the symbolism, did they?
Yeah.
No.
So, sadly, in 1989, the show was cancelled.
Oh.
Benny was called into the Thames Television offices and sacked like a schoolboy.
How could you do that? I mean, you'd have to have some respect for the man,
He must have really felt betrayed after all those years.
Yes.
There's an episode about Benny transmitted as part of a documentary series, Living Famously. John Howard Davies, the head of light entertainment at the Thames Television, who had cancelled the show, stated there were three reasons why he did so. One, the audience were going down. Two, the program was costing vast amounts of money. And three, Benny Hill was looking a little tired. I don't think they really stand up.
No, I don't think so. But the loss of the show totally devastated Benny, or as some of his former supporting players put it, he started to die from that moment. And what followed was a self-inflicted decline in his health, and in 1990 a new show was produced, complete with Benny and his usual team, called Benny Hill's World Tour New York.
In February 1992, Thames Television, which had received a steady stream of requests from viewers for Benny Hill Show repeats, finally gave in and put together a number of re-edited shows.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it also turns out that Charlie Chaplin was a fan of Benny's work. Now, Benny discovered that his childhood idol was a fan and he was invited when he was invited to Chaplin's home in Switzerland by Chaplin's family.
Oh, wow.
And found that Chaplin had a collection of Benny's work on video. Benny Hill and Dennis Kirkland were the first outside the family to be invited into Chaplin's private study.
Bum chicka wow wow.
Benny was awarded the Charlie Chaplin International Award for Comedy at the 1991 Festival of Comedy in Switzerland. Now, this made Benny shed a few tears at the time, and it was possibly the proudest moment in Benny Hill's life.
Benny never married, although he did propose to three women, but was turned down by all three. Although he owned the family home in Southampton, he never owned his own home in London, nor a car, and Benny preferred to rent a place to live rather than buy one. First a large double apartment in Queensgate, London, for 26 years until 1986, and then a small flat in Teddington, London, within walking distance of the studios of Thames Television, where he recorded his shows, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can walk to work. I love it.
His mother died in 1976, aged 82, and Benny kept the family house in Southampton as a shrine to her and not changing a thing.
Can you say Norman Bates?
Travelling was the one luxury Benny permitted himself. He became a Francophile, enjoying frequent visits to France, where until 1980s he could enjoy being anonymous in the crowd, in outdoor cafes, on public transport and socialising with local women. Besides mastering French, Benny also spoke German, Dutch, Italian, just to get by when travelling. And these holidays often turned out to be gathering missions for comedy material borrowed from regional acts.
On the 19th of April 1992, Frankie Howard died and the press were looking for a comment from Benny. His agent could not contact him, so issued a statement saying that Benny was saddened at the loss of a good friend and a wonderful comedian in Frankie Howard.
Unfortunately, Benny had died at the age of 68 on the same day as Frankie Howard. On the 22nd of April, after several days of unanswered telephone calls, his producer, Dennis Kirkland, climbed a ladder to the balcony of his third-floor apartment and, seeing the body through the window, had his neighbours call the police. The police broke into the apartment and found Benny dead, sitting in his armchair in front of the television. The cause of death was recorded as coronary thrombosis.
I've just got to say, how fitting is it that such a giant of comedy TV dies sitting in front of the TV?
Benny, it turned out, had died on the same day a new contract had arrived in the Post from Central Independent Television, for which he was to have made a series of specials. Benny turned down competing offers from Carlton and Thames.
Benny Hill was buried in Hollybrook Cemetery near his birthplace in Southampton on the 26th of April 1992. But in October of 1992, following rumours that he'd been buried with large amounts of gold jewellery, an attempt was made by thieves to exhume his body. Now, when authorities arrived, they looked down into the open grave the following morning to find that the vandals had dug down and exposed the coffin. Within 2 hours of the discovery, cemetery staff had refilled the grave and recovered it with half a ton concrete slab. They're not getting back in there.
Benny's fortune was estimated to be at £10 million. His only will, however, dated from 1961 and left his entire estate to his parents, both of whom had since died. Now, next in line were his brother Leonard and sister Diana, both of whom were also dead. This left his 7 nieces and nephews, among whom the money was divided. Now, a note was found among his belongings, assigning huge sums of money to his close friends, but because there was no witness, the note had no legal standing.
Oh, that would be so. Oh. But I suppose to say you could call yourself a close personal friend of a giant like Benny Hill would be enough of a reward in itself.
That works for me. Just love to have met him. It would be great.
Yeah, there were several celebrities that were actually huge fans of Benny Hill, apart from the Mr. Chaplin. Michael Jackson, of course, was a big fan of Benny Hill's, and during an interview with a British press critic in the 1970s, he's reported to have said, "I just love you, Benny Hill. He's so funny." And I do a really bad Michael Jackson, I'm sorry, but you know.
Actually, during Benny Hill's decline in his health, he was also visited by Michael Jackson, who was in UK at the time, so...
I've just got visions of the ghost of Christmas past floating into his bedroom. Benny Hill, I will take you back in time. Sorry. All the Michael Jackson fans are spinning in their grave right now.
In Benny Hill, the world's favourite clown, this was a film shortly before his death, celebrities such as Burt Reynolds, Michael Caine, John Mortimer, Mickey Rooney and Walter Cronkite, among others, expressed their appreciation and admiration of Benny and his humour. And in Reynolds' case, his appreciation extended to the Hills Angels as well. Yes, I can see. I can see Burt Reynolds looking after the Hills Angels.
Yeah,
with lustful intent.
All right, girls, come. You can be in my show. You don't have a show. Doesn't matter. Come with me.
More surprisingly, perhaps, is the novelist Anthony Burgess. He made no secret of his admiration of Benny Hill. Burgess, whose novels were often comic, relished language, wordplay and dialect, admired the verbal and comedic skill that underplayed Benny's success. Reviewing a biography of Benny Hill, Saucy Boy and the Guardian in 1990, Burgess described him as a comic genius steeped in the British music hall of tradition and one of the great artists of our age. So say all of us.
In 2006, broadcaster and critic Gary Bushell launched a campaign to erect a statue of Benny Hill in Southampton, with the support of Barbara Windsor, Brian Colney, and other British comedy favourites. I've got to wonder what a statue of Benny Hill would look like. Would it be him standing there with the cap on sideways and the glasses doing that little salute thing?
Doing the funny salute, absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be the one, yeah. Those taking part in the first fundraising concert included Neville Staple, Right Said Fred, and Rick Wakeman, to name a few.
In a June 2011 interview in The Observer, the American rapper Snoop Dogg declared himself to be a fan of Benny Hill.
Yeah, that'd be right. Jump on the bandwagon, yeah.
In a 2011 interview, British actor and director Mark Noyce stated that Benny Hill was his all-time favourite comedian. He was quoted as saying, "He was way ahead of his time and an absolute master of his art. I would have loved the opportunity to have met him, and I hope he will be remembered as the genius I believe he was."
Oh, that's nice. Now, on December the 28th, 2006, Channel 4 broadcast a documentary, "Is Benny Hill Still Funny?" Now, was that a question or a statement? We're not sure. The program featured an audience that comprised a cross-section of young adults who had little or no knowledge of Benny Hill. Great idea. To discover whether the comedy was valid to a generation that had enjoyed the likes of Little Britain, The Catherine Tate Show, Borat, all that sort of stuff. The participants were asked to watch a 30-minute compilation that included examples of Benny's humour from both his BBC and his ITV shows. Now, this would have been an absolute... burster to watch and see the faces on the people as they were doing it, because the results and the response demonstrated that none of the sample viewers took offence to any of the sketches that were shown.
And that's interesting to think that we've become so politically correct. We're all very, oh, we can't say that, we can't do this, we can't do that. But show a whole lot of people weren't aware of stuff he was doing in the 70s that we think is terribly politically incorrect now, and they're just saying, yeah, we didn't take any offence to that, but it was great.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
Mm. Now, in fact, the silent sketch he did called The Wishing Well was discovered to be the most popular sketch of all. Now, I'll even put that on the Facebook page,
yes,
too.
Yes, put it up on Facebook, yep. Mm.
Now, remember our comedian friend Ben Elton?
Oh, yeah.
He's the one who had criticised Benny for sexism. He was interviewed for this program, and he said that he still has reservations about certain aspects of Hill's sketches, but claimed to be an admirer of Benny's talent and abilities as a comic performer.
Yes. Now, Ben, take one foot out of mouth, replace with other. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was the man, the show, the talent that was Benny Hill. Great comedic performer, fantastic timing on all of his shows, and you've got to admire him for... slapping that little guy on the head so many times.
Well, honestly, go to your local DVD library. You're bound to find two or three Benny Hill DVDs going very cheap. And I really regret that the great man is being put out in the bargain bin. Mm. There's a great chance to put some of Benny's great humour in your collection and watch Benny Hill on TV as he was so good at.
Benny Hill, we knew you, we loved you, and we honour you today on Historical Hystericals.
We got to keep moving. We'll have another great comedian coming up sometime down the track.
Yeah, now don't forget, jump on Facebook and have a look at our Facebook page, Historical Hystericals. Just do a searchy thing on the Facebook doohickey at the top. We'll pop up, have a look. We're going to throw up some clips, including Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West, and some other bits and pieces from the Benny Hill Show. Have a good look, have a good laugh. It's well and truly worth it. And don't forget, I need you to name Ernie's horse.
Love it.
Yes. And if you are the first one to name Ernie's horse, you win the prestige of being the first person to name Ernie's horse. We're cheap.
No, just broke.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, we got to go. We'll catch you next time. Have fun, guys.
See you, guys. Bye.
Bye.